Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chilling with the Villain podcast. And today, we're chilling with AEW Dynasty. You know, AEW, they've had used to do 4 pay-per-views a year. I guess now they've added more. So they've got to create new names for pay-per-views. The name Dynasty, Sam, what do you think of that?
I was going to say, I don't know what it means. I know what the word means, but I don't know what it means in the context of this pay-per-view, right? Like, who is the Dynasty? Is it supposed to be the Bucks? Like, well, they're brothers, right?
Maybe. I mean, they have a pay-per-view called Full Gear. What does that mean? I bet the listeners know. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, like, Double or Nothing makes sense, right? Because they do it in Vegas, like that sort of thing, right? Yeah. And they had All Out, so they had All In, and like that, like these are cool. And Full Gear, you know, it means like full steam ahead sort of thing. They're kind of innocuous. But like Dynasty means like a family of prominence, right? Who rule or highly influential or something. So I can only imagine it's about who else? The Bucks.
The Khan family?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, this is the thing.
We'll spend too much time debating over this name. Before we go any further, that was Sam, the producer of the show, talking. And today we're talking about AEW Dynasty. It's like a week or so since the pay-per-view, but these pay-per-views are kind of long. So, you know, it took our time like to regroup to talk about it. And honestly, this whole entire show, there's like, I'm saying that not necessarily as a negative, because there's a lot of good stuff on this show, but there definitely is such thing as too much of a good thing. I love ice cream. I love cake. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about ice cream before we started recording, but if I eat too much of it, get a little sick. Does that make sense? Even though it's like my favorite thing ever. But AEW, I
never really got when you used to say that on these AEW reviews until this one, and it clicked for me.
Well, let's get into it. Like, the show opens up with Pac and Okada, which could be like a main event anywhere in the world.
Yep.
Two just phenomenal wrestlers. And honestly, I watched this match and I thought, yeah, this was really good. And both wrestlers are excellent. And here's the issue, is that it's just completely expected to be a great match. And it was. So it wasn't like a surprise or anything. I think everyone kind of knew Okada was going to win. The other issue we find with AEW, maybe it's not an issue. I'd like to hear the fans' views on this. Obviously, here at Chilling with the Villain, the classic wrestling review podcast, we're traditionalists and we like to see heels and faces. Mm-hmm. This match is kind of like, so Okada's supposed to be, well, he's in a heel group, but everyone loves him. Pac was, he's always kind of been a heel, but I guess he's a babyface now. So it's kind of hard to work out who the heel and the face, you know, were. But yeah, both these guys, just true professionals, and their technique is just on for everything. I think any other night, this would have probably been match of the night, but AEW had something more in store for us. So yeah, great match, yeah.
You know, I like my banger openers.
Yeah.
And these guys are just guaranteed to deliver that. So I think it was wise to put them on first. I know what you're saying, like any other time it will be a main event. We knew it wasn't going to be that for this one. Mm. So just putting them on first, I thought was just the right call.
Well, also there was like 3 matches on the pre-show, which we both did not watch, right? So like, yeah, but it's got to be such a long night for the fans there. Like to be fair to the fans, they kept up the energy for them. I mean, I think there was like a bit of a lull during the middle of the show, maybe, but they have energy. I would have been done, you know. I'm in bed by 10 o'clock, so.
That's all that ice cream you've been eating.
Exactly.
The sugar crackers, yeah.
Well, you know, so like they open with this. This is pretty star-studded, to be fair. And then next match is Edge, you know, pretty big name, but it was Edge, Kingston, and Briscoe taking on the House of Black. I'm going to be honest with you. I was watching this show live and I have a new puppy, Mr. Leo Loco, and he was playing up around this sort of point. So I pretty much only saw the finish of this match. And to be fair, I just thought, well, I know everyone in this match, like what they can do. They're all professionals, kind of knew exactly what it was going to be. Just like, yep, this is just going to be a really decent 6-man tag. I think I'll go back and watch it. But I just saw the finish and it was Malakai defeating Edge, which maybe you could have predicted. It seems like Malakai is going to challenge Edge. So I keep saying Edge, Adam Copeland for the TNT title. We'll see how that goes. I think that'd be kind of interesting, but good way to get, you know, these, you know, people on the card. Nice, always nice to see Kingston, and always cool to see Mark Briscoe on the pay-per-view.
Definitely. You said you only really watched the end of it. That's interesting, because did you think, based on you only really seeing the end of it, that it was like a tornado tag?
No, because I literally just saw like the pin or whatnot. Was it like that? No
well,
tags?
The thing is, they started as like a tag match with people on the outside and tagging in, and they ended with everybody in the ring. So I didn't even know what the rules were. But despite that, which is, to be fair, a black mark against it, because you know I'm a stickler for the rules, it was still another good match. So for two, like you said, what else was it going to be with those people?
Yeah, and that is a bit of an issue in wrestling in this day and age, where the whole tags thing, and I feel like everyone's guilty for it. And I'm sure when I do tag matches, guilty for it as well. But I'll always try and keep it sort of as strict as I can. It's like, if you enforce the rules, there's just so many more stories you can tell. When you throw them out, it's kind of like you limit yourself, and then like everything starts looking a bit the same, if that makes sense. And it's funny because now I wrestle in Mexico all the time, and lucha rules, you know, there's no tags or anything. So I feel like that's had such a heavy influence on American wrestling now. But yeah, I'm also a stickler for tags.
Honest though, because it's always been like that. I think that's my problem. So like, that's fine. It's this kind of wishy-washy middle ground now
Absolutely.
In American wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the House of Black, Julia Hart was then defeated by Willow Nightingale. I was actually kind of surprised by this, because I saw that Julia hurt, I believe her arm in a match like a week or two ago, but I guess a few weeks now, on a match on Rampage. To the point where she hurt the match hurt the shoulder very early on in the match, and they had to go home right away. And it looked pretty bad. And then the week before this pay-per-view, or maybe the week of, they advertised a mixed tag of Brody and Julia against Willow and Edge. And they basically did the whole match as a singles match between Edge and Brody, and Julia just came in for the finish to hit Willow with a chain and put her in a submission. So I was like, okay, well, she's definitely hurt. So I thought, I don't know if they're going to do this pay-per-view match. And then when they were still advertising it, I was like, okay, I assume it's just going to be some kind of angle. But they did actually give us a match. It wasn't a long match. It was 6 minutes. But if she's hurt and injured, like, that's a lot, 6 minutes. You know what I mean? So, and I actually think having a shorter match on the show actually helped a lot with the pace. Do you know what I mean? Like, another 20-minute match here might have like really hurt the crowd. But it seemed like the people were pretty into this. And I think most people were expecting Willow to win, because they've kind of been building up Willow versus Mercedes Moné. One thing I don't really understand, Stokely Hathaway with Willow and Statlander. It feels like inevitably when he turns, it will kind of make them look silly, but I'm guessing they're going to have him and Statlander turn on Willow. Can't really see Willow being a heel. And I will say, like, I'm a pretty big fan of Willow Nightingale. I think it's not quite the finished product yet. I don't think she's been wrestling that long. So she still needs some more experience, but I think she's got really good fire and good personality, and fundamentals are there. I could see her becoming a really big star.
So is she new? And here's my first criticism of the night. Didn't take us very long. I actually thought this was too short. I know I complain when they're too long. I actually thought this was too short, because I'm someone who doesn't watch the show. I just watch the pay-per-views. And I feel like if you're just someone who watches the WWE pay-per-views, you still have the opportunity to understand who everyone is and what they can do. Mainly talk about the women here. This was like a 5 minutes match where I don't know who this person is. And it just wasn't enough for me to be able to kind of formulate an opinion on what she can do or what I think about her. Right. And then obviously the part at the end when Mercedes Moné comes out, it basically just sets up Willow versus Moné at Double or Nout. So I assumed it was just like a quick setup for that. I didn't know Julia Hart was injured, and that's probably a factor of the length, but I just didn't feel like I could understand who this person was, Willow. I didn't have the opportunity to do that because of the length.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if Julia was hurt, if maybe they should have just vacated the title and just said that Willow versus Sasha, or sorry, Mercedes at Double or Nothing for the vacant title. But obviously they felt like they had to do this match because they advertised it. And I guess they wanted Willow to have a run as a champ. I assume inevitably to lose it to Mercedes. I feel like now though, the people aren't going to like that, I don't think. I think they're going to turn on Mercedes if they have not already, because I don't think the fans want to see Willow as a transitional champion. So
you want to see her as a real one?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. So I feel like it might backfire, or they'll stick through with it and Mercedes will win, but it's going to turn her into a big heel, which, to be honest with you, she's probably better suited to being a heel. I do find that quite often sometimes, like in AEW, they'll bring a woman in, she'll have a little short run as a baby face, and it ever just be like have to turn heel. So I don't know. You were texting me about you weren't too impressed with Julia Hart. I've always actually been quite impressed with her, and I feel like the entrance is 5 stars. But if you weren't impressed with her here, it's probably not a good match to form your opinion, because, like I said, I think she was hurt.
Okay, fair enough. Actually, her character isn't what I was debating. I think it's kind of, she's cool, she's got a cool look, and like you said, her entrance and everything. I just felt like in her little VT beforehand, she kind of just lacked any like fire in her voiceover. It just seemed a little flat to me. So yeah, that's where my criticism was from. I've actually seen her wrestle before.
I could see that. The next match is for the international championship.
Oh, is that what they call it? Okay, so we both got it wrong.
Yeah, it's Roderick Strong defeated Kyle O'Reilly. You know what's funny about this? Watching this match, during it, I was like, man, this is such a good wrestling match, and both these guys are just such professionals. And I thought it was really, really good. But I felt like the finish kind of came out of nowhere and felt kind of flat. Did you feel that?
I felt that. I've actually got that in my notes. It's like, how would you describe this match? It was very technical, or you could call it like a real match if you wanted it to be like that, a real wrestling match. And then just kind of fizzled.
Yeah. What I worry about it is they just brought Kyle O'Reilly back after being away for like a year and a half. He's come back. This is his first pay-per-view match and, you know, return. And now he's lost. It's like, okay, is that just him kind of done now? And the whole match, it felt like, you know, Roderick was on top of Kyle the whole match, and Kyle would kind of fight back from underneath, and then Strong would kind of put him down, keep putting him down, you know, kind of out-wrestling him almost, but would shut him off. Sorry is the word I was looking for. And he kept doing that. And I thought, oh, I'm assuming this is going to lead to like a massive Kyle O'Reilly comeback and everything else. And I figured Roderick Strong probably would win, but I just don't understand. They had Wardlow do some kind of came in the ring. And it did not lead to the finish. I don't understand that. Like, because it felt like Strong pretty much defeated Kyle just like clean. And that to me seems like you got to protect Kyle, you just brought him back, you know? It's like you already had Wardlow come in the ring and he didn't do anything. It's like, just have Wardlow cost Kyle the match. I did not understand that personally. And so it was annoying because the whole match, I was like, this is really great. And then for me, just the finish felt a little flat.
After that, Adam Cole comes into the ring, and this is going to be my conspiracy and video game talk for the episode quota out of the way all in one go. So Adam Cole gets wheeled out to the ring and then gets up. He can stand, right?
Yeah.
Adam Cole is a gamer in real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a Twitch streamer who famously, like, he pretended he was disabled for like donations, and called Zillion OP, I think. And
oh, you've told me about this before.
And then he gets up out of his wheelchair and walks away. Do you think Adam knew, like, he must 100% know that? And I wondered if he kind of took that.
Probably.
He could have done, right?
I should ask him. Yeah.
Ask him.
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, I assume he knows about that story.
100% he will.
If this guy's a famous streamer, Adam will know him for sure.
Exactly. I think he took that.
Yeah.
Funny how you can find inspiration in like these, like in anything really.
Totally. And that match is kind of a long match, like 17 minutes, 20 seconds. Pretty much every single match other than that women's match was like over 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you know what's really funny is the next match with Chris Jericho and Hook was basically the exact same duration.
Really?
In length, right? Yes, as the Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly match. But did one feel like it really dragged to you compared to the other? That's the question, right? And you can tell what I think about this next match by me saying that. They were both like 17 minutes 20, I think you said. But I just felt like this one dragged so much compared to the Kyle O'Reilly match before. Yeah. At least somebody got tabled, I suppose.
I thought you'd love it,
Exactly.
I think... This match, at this point, I kind of zoned out a little bit. And that's not because, obviously, I think both guys, I think Hook is very talented. Obviously, yes. Jericho's a legend. I'm not into the hardcore stuff. So I kind of zoned out for this. So it seemed like the crowd were turning on Jericho pretty big. I feel like he's just smart though. He'll find a way to turn this around and make it work for him. It does seem like, there are a lot of AEW wrestlers. Sometimes every now and then you've got to go, they call it like go away and learn a new hold. Do you know what I mean? Like, how can I miss you if you won't go away? And I think that's kind of what the crowd is feeling with Jericho at the moment. It's just been there a lot, and maybe it's, maybe that would be a good idea, but it seems like he's, kind of a wrestling genius, and it feels like he'll just turn this, manage to turn it into a negative and come out on top, it seems. But I think I said this on the show before, when I first saw Hook, I thought, damn, this guy's got so much potential. And sort of fast forward 3 years, I feel like he doesn't really seem to, he's still at that kind of similar level, I would have liked to see more
growth.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, look at The Rock from 96 to 99, just transformed.
Completely different person.
I know that we can't all be like that, but I don't know. I feel like we're still waiting for him to kind of have that breakout moment or breakout match or breakout promo. What do you think?
Yeah, it was not today. I'll say that. Another comparison, another similarity to this in the last match, you talked about a fizzle of an ending. There was a very strange sort of cadence to the end of this match where Chris Jericho gets his bat. It's like, don't make me do this to Hook, hits him over the head with the bat, and then just pauses, then pins after the pause, and then just Taz gets up and walks around the ring looking frustrated, not concerned, just frustrated. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's more to come with this all, maybe.
I don't know. It just didn't read very well. It's very underwhelming finish, but apart from that, it wasn't too bad, wasn't it?
He hit him in the face with a baseball bat. Underwhelming finish.
Well, no, but then he's his son, right? If your son gets hit over the head with a baseball bat, you wouldn't just look disappointed in your son for getting hit. Go to the ring. It's just like puts his elbows on the ring mat and is like, oh. You do more than that, you'd at least chew the guy out.
But it's not like his son missed a penalty at a sports game or something,
that's how he was acting.
Tough love from Father Taz.
From his dad,
That's the next match. Tony Storm defeated Thunder Rosa. This, I think, was a lot better than people may have been expecting, or maybe people were expecting a lot. I feel like this late in the show wasn't expecting fireworks, because I just thought the crowd's going to be really, really worn out by this point and saving themselves for those main events. But the crowd actually brought it with this match. It seemed like they really got into it towards the finish. So I feel like they're both ladies did a really good job.
Yes. My first thought though was, well, two things. Remember how last week you made the claim that you popularized the masks for an entrance? I saw that. So Thunder Rosa comes in with a mask, and then she takes off her mask because she's not wearing her traditional face paint, and she loses to Toni Storm. So I'm sure that's where her power is in her face paint, right? Without it, she loses. And Toni Storm, back in school days when we did PE, and if you forgot your PE kit, if a kid forgot his PE kit, they had to do it in their underwear. That's yes. what Tony Storm looked like. That she forgot her wrestling.
I can't
outfit.
Even remember what she was wearing, actually.
I guess that's my point, right?
That's funny. Yeah, but it seemed...
It
seemed like the crowd are into it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I wanted to take a minute to talk about our newest sponsor, madcatbeardcare.com. Myself, I have a beard. Sam, you have a beard. Beards are very popular now, but you've got to take care of your beard. You got to get yourself over to madcatbeardcare.com. I'm looking at the oils and the balms on there. First of all, they're all designed by different pro wrestlers and marketed as different pro wrestlers. So there's a bunch of guys involved with this, like Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, Delirious, Jay Lethal, a whole collection of awesome wrestlers that have their own products on madcatbeardcare.com. Not only that, but a portion of the profits go to cat rescues around the country. So I think that's already exciting. But the beard oils and the balms both are made from organic argan oil, jojoba, and vitamin E, which when combined helps to soften, strengthen, and vitalize and stimulate circulation in the face, nourishing and strengthening the hair follicles to assist growth. Now, this is what you need. If you've got a patchy beard, you need to get yourself to madcatbeardcare.com. The balms also include the same oil and mixture as the oils, but he adds the shea butter, which helps alleviate itch and irritation to your face, while also helping control pesky stray hairs by allowing you to style them into place. He uses local organic beeswax that helps to get more of a hold to your style. So you got to look after your skin underneath your beard, just like you do your scalp. Like, these aren't things that you can neglect. And that's why we've teamed up with madcatbeardcare.com. And right now, just for listening to the show, you can get yourself a whopping 15% off products at madcatbeardcare.com by using the code VILLAIN. That's 15% for the promo code VILLAIN. That's VILLAIN. And pick yourself up the Villain's Curse, my own beard oil, my own beard balm. That's exactly what I use every day on my face to make my famous beard look beautiful. You can do the same thing too. So last time I'm going to say it, get yourself over now to madcatbeardcare.com. Promo Villain. Next match.
This is what everyone wants. Yeah.
Yeah. Technically the 10th match on the show.
Wow.
So again, you'd expect people to be worn out because there's been a lot of long matches, you know. The match everyone's been talking about and creaming over, Ospreay defeating Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
32 seconds and not 32 seconds. That would be
a squash.
That'd be like
Bryan
Danielson versus Sheamus. no, 32 minutes and 40 seconds. This, you know what's funny about this? So if I had to give an overall critique to the show, it kind of felt like a lot of people did the same thing. A lot of people told the same story. Like a lot of it, like there's so many different stories you can tell in a wrestling match, but it felt like pay-per-view it reminds me of PWG. It's like every match is like an epic battle, loads of near falls, strike exchange. Do you know what I mean? Like every match is like a main, like WrestleMania main event, it seems. So they all kind of do the same matches, but with that being said, Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson they're doing it the same stuff as everyone else, but they do it just so much better, so much quicker. They execute everything so much better. And honestly, like, you know, I've been fortunate enough to wrestle both these guys, and it seemed like Ospreay just has his routine down and flawless, like to a T, and so does Bryan Danielson. And it just felt like they brought their routines together and kind of meshed them to the point where like people were just like, this is the greatest thing ever. And it was just, you're watching it being like, yeah, these guys just absolutely know what they're doing. They've got the crowd in the palm of their hands. For them, they make it look easy. And for them, I think it is easy. And just really, really great match. Again, the same thing with the Pat and Okada match. It's kind of like just the heels and faces stuff is just thrown out the window because Will is obviously like a massive baby face, but he's part of the heel faction, Don Callis family. And then Danielson, he's part of the Blackpool Combat Club, who who I think are supposed to be heels, but everyone loves Brian and respects
Brian. But it's Brian Danielson, yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, like not a lot of heel versus face matches on this show as a whole. Like if I'm looking right now at the matches that have like a clear heel and a clear face, legit, the only, like, even Swerve and Joe, which we'll get to shortly, like Joe's a heel, but everyone loves Joe. The only matches I can see with clear heels and faces are, okay, but I don't even know if Jericho is properly turned heel yet, but I was going to say Jericho and Hook, and then I guess the Young Bucks and FTR. That's the only two matches on the show that have clear heels, which is kind
Tony,
of...
Is Tony not a heel?
Tony Storm?
Yeah, she's very popular.
Which is like the most popular wrestler.
Yeah, but you can be like, The Undertaker is a heel, but he's popular.
That's my point. You're making my point exactly. I'm saying, like, they'll have people in this on the roles of heels or roles of babyfaces, but if she's the most over a person on the show, it's not a proper heel, is it? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I disagree. I totally disagree.
You're 100% wrong. She's a babyface through and through, but she's been booked as a heel, but she's a massive babyface.
So you think heel just means unpopular? Is that what
no.
you... Right.
Heel,
like, heel is like your villain, right?
Yeah, exactly. The person getting booed.
There's plenty of times where, like Darth Vader, right? He's a heel, exactly, but he's the most popular character.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be the exception. Like, oh, the Joker, it can't be like that for every single match, can it? Or maybe it can. That's my point. Like, that.
So you just want more variety in it?
Well, I'm just saying the heels and the faces are distinguished at all. There's not enough black and white with heels and faces. It's like all completely gray. And fine. To me, I'm like, I preferred it when we had, you know, more I don't distinct. Mind one or two matches where it's like, oh, this guy's kind of a tweener or this, you know, that's fine. But it's like every single person is, they're not, you know, I think it makes it very difficult to tell stories when you have not a clear heel and not a clear baby face. It's kind of like the audience, who do we get behind? And I think every now and then it's fine to have like a story where you want half the people behind one of them, the other half behind the other. That's okay as an exception. I don't think that should be for every single match. And the problem is when you do that, you kind of split the fans. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like, then it's kind of like, you know, who's over? None of them are over. Do you know what I mean? But Tony is definitely in no shape or form a heel whatsoever. She's very, very popular and gets cheered. And yeah, like if to me, when a heel gets cheered too much, they've just got to bite the bullet and go with it and turn babyface. Because if they're a heel and they're getting cheered that much and they wrestle another babyface, they just gobble up the other babyface. Like right. Their face has nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like they are, and it's not, that's not a good way to get talents over if they're just getting right. gobbled up, you know? But legit, I'm looking at this card now. Like House of Black, I think they're supposed to be heels, but people love them, you know? To be a real heel in this day and age, it is really difficult, which is actually why I was watching the TNA pay-per-view the other day. And did you ever see Top Dollar in the WWE?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, but he's very, very disliked. He's now called AJ Francis, and he wasn't very liked. He comes across as pretty unlikable, and he's in TNA now. And I was actually watching him being like, this is great, because it's like, you don't see many real heels in wrestling anymore, yet this guy is getting actual heel heat. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, that's good. Like, I like that. It's just like, it's kind of like what's old is new. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I was a kid, you had such strong heels, like whether right. it was, you know, Flair or Pipe. I mean, those guys are popular as well, but so many different wrestlers, you know, these strong, strong heels, strong, strong baby faces, like Hogan versus Earthquake, whatever it was. Now it's just like, we like everyone, you know what I mean? So that maybe that's the way wrestling's going. Me, just me personally, I'm just, I like more the storytelling, the storytelling aspect. And like I said, I don't want to see the same story 10 times. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's a fair request.
I think that's a fair request. But no, all of that being said, yeah, this match was incredible. I'm sure it's going to get, I'm sure it's been star rated already. Probably got 7 stars.
I was going to say, how many stars do you reckon this got?
Can you find
down
that?
To the nearest 100? Yeah, we'll look that up. In the meantime, that top turn, that Tiger Suplex off the top turnbuckle was mental. I love stuff like that.
Oh, then did you see? I posted about that. I did that move to Will Ospreay about 5 years ago.
Oh no, I didn't. This another thing that was
well, not really stolen from me. But I put my video up of me doing it on my Instagram. I'm trying to find the rating. Dave Meltzer on Will Ospreay. The match was so good on so many different levels. It was one of the best matches I've ever seen. Probably the best match ever in the United States. Would you agree with that, Sam?
The best match that's ever happened in the United States.
Yes.
It's a very lofty claim, because if I say no, I don't think so, then what do I have to say is? I need time to think about that. But that's an incredibly lofty claim. Do you reckon he says that every time?
I think if you're basing it on how well executed moves and spots are done, I think then, like, yes, probably. If you're counting for a whole bunch of different stuff, like, the only real metric you can base wrestling on is business, right? Because that's what it is at the end of the day. That's all it really is. But then again, I know it's subjective. You can look at wrestling as like an art, but realistically, wrestling is a business. So, you know, I guess technically the best match of all time would be the one that drew the most money. But for me personally, I loved, you know, Austin and Brett. That to me had a lot more drama than this match. I loved Hogan and Rock. I think it was just incredible. And they certainly are doing a lot of the moves and stuff that these guys are doing. But I don't particularly rate a match based on, you know, how much great stuff they can do in it. So I wouldn't say it is the greatest match ever in the United States. That being said, you know, and that's just my preference as well. It's because I'm more into the sort of how wrestling used to be rather than what it is now. That being said, it definitely was an insane, crazy match, and definitely one of the best matches that I've seen in many, many years.
In a good while. Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
However, it would be. Yeah, that fighting spirit, which would be very generous and call it, it still just goes right through me.
You don't like that?
I can't do it. I can't get on board.
I understand. So, like, I think that was towards the finish, right? Where Ospreay took the Regal Plex and just popped up and
did his blade.
I'm not a fan of it. And I almost feel like you could argue there's a time and place. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're doing it like in every big match, maybe it's not a time and place, you know? The reason why guys do it is because they're getting these reactions because they're doing something where the audience thinks they're going one way and they switch it on them, you know, boom, oh, just kidding. And that's a swerve and it, you know, gets that reaction out of the audience. That being said, it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like if I'm going to be dropped on my head from the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, I'm going to stay down like I've been dropped on my head, you know, but I can't, who am I to critique? You know, that was, you know, just definitely a 5-star performance from both men.
Yeah. To me, this fighting spirit thing is going to be the new multiple finishers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like once in a lifetime. Like once in a lifetime. Yeah, it works and it works well. We talked about that with Cactus Jack versus Triple H. Now it's just everywhere and it's just lost its luster.
It's like the table. You see tables every single week. The first time I saw a table, I think it was Diesel powerbombed Bret Hart for the table. I was like, oh my God, he's dead. Oh no. And now we see tables from everyone every single week. You know, it's like, or the thumbtacks. The first time I saw thumbtacks, my mind was absolutely blown. And it made sense with the way Mick Foley did it in that. Well, I was talking about the Hell in a Cell with Undertaker, and it's like it made sense for that insane deranged character to put out
to be carrying this kind of thing,
and I was like, whoa, this is insane. And now it's just been done so many times from so many different people. It's just kind of like, oh, thumbtacks. So yeah, the fighting spirit thing, it's inevitably going to be overdone, and then if they keep doing it, then they're gonna have to keep adding more fighting spirit or no selling spots until like the whole match is just doing stuff to each other, but not selling it. And we just get rid of selling, full stop. Like, selling will be extinct. Then it's kind of almost like,
what
are we doing? Yeah. What is wrestling? Yeah. What is wrestling after that?
It just becomes a video game.
It just becomes like a dance routine. Like, yeah. Like, wouldn't that be funny? Like, wrestling just evolves into like an actual just dancing performance.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of is, but yeah, that would be something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To me, it would revert more to like something like Tekken, where they just keep getting back up and fighting until one of their health bars depletes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. Bizarre. I was so satisfied by this point. Do you know what I mean with the pay-per-view? I was like, I can take it home now. Like, yeah, and I would have just been super satisfied.
Dude, poor
Bucks.
Poor Bucks and FTR having to follow that. And to be honest with you, I feel like they're probably the only people that had a chance of following them. And to be fair to them, it seemed like they really did get the crowd into it, and it seemed like they had a really great match from what I saw. So round of applause for FTR and Bucks, because, oh my God, yeah. Like, if I was on that show and I'm stood at Gorilla watching Brian and Ospreay have that match, I'm thinking, man, I don't even want to go out there now. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's got to be the worst feeling ever. And this is a thing that's happened in wrestling now. Like, it never really used to be like that in the 80s or the 90s. The cards would purposely build. And if you did too much in an earlier match, you would get a lot of trouble. You would get fired. Now you don't. And now it's actually encouraged. Like, no, go out there and steal the show, no matter where you are on the card. It's another thing. I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. But that's just the way it is now. So it's kind of like, got to get with it. So they had a really, really tough challenge to go out there and follow them, but
I think they did a good job considering.
I think they did an amazing job considering, to be honest with you.
I'm with you.
I thought it was really, really good. I will admit, I cringed really hard at one point when Matt, I think it was, it was Matt, went through the table and then kind of smacked his head on the back of the guardrail.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I did not like that. It's always tough for me to watch these sort of matches because it's just so, like, wrestling's so dangerous as it is. And then these guys doing this stuff, and it's like, for fans that have never wrestled before, they're like, oh, this is so fun. And it's like, when you're a wrestler and you realize that we're human beings, for me, it's like tough to watch. Do you know what I mean? People taking those scary ass bumps, but
I like people getting tabled as much as the next man, probably even more so. But just,
you want to,
like,
see guys get their skulls crushed in?
I don't want to see that. No, just do it clean in the... Even on the outside is fine. Just do it clean, like through the table. I'm cool with that. You know, I want to hear the noise.
Yeah, but things don't go right in wrestling all the time. You know,
you can't
be like 100% going to do this clean. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's very unpredictable.
Yeah. What did you think about the ending? The slightly goofy ending.
Oh, with
Nick gets the. So we should say it's for the AEW Tag Championship, and it was a ladder match. So Nick's getting the belts down while everyone's distracted by Jack Perry, who came out in a mask and then just did a goofy face to camera, and then everyone somehow got like paralyzed by that. Like, it's kind of like,
well, I assume the FTR were down selling from something, right? I don't think they were just stood there looking at Jack Perry, were they?
They kind of were, mate.
I don't know. I didn't see that. If they were, then that's weird. But I don't think they were. I think you're maybe saw that wrong. But if Jack Perry was going to return and do it in this match, it has to be the finish, I think. So for me, it's fine. Like, it's a high point, you know, or like, that's the story. That's the business of the match. Jack Perry's cost FTR. That's the finish. You know, they can't do another 5 minutes after that of wrestling moves. So, it's funny because it seems like the AEW showing that footage.
Yeah.
The people were up in arms over that and so critical and just like, this is the worst thing ever. And this is like the finger poke of doom or whatever. Yet it seems like this Jack Perry, he came out on Dynamite this week and kind of got like a superstar reaction. And then like, they've done this big segment where the Bucks have taken out Tony Khan, and it seems really hot, you know, and it seems like it's got people's interest and people are intrigued. So yeah, and I'm all for that. Like, more, give me more moments, give me more story,
intrigue, give me more. Yeah,
right, rather than just good matches. About. We've had enough ice cream. We've had enough good matches. Give me the story. So I'm all for it. You know, I mean, I'm kind of excited to see what they can do with this new Elite and Jack Perry and everything else. and the Bucks once again tag team champions. So it'll be interesting to see who they work with next.
Yes. Speaking of good wrestling matches, just good match after good match. Finally, Swerve Strickland won the AEW World title from Samoa Joe, who I also like. Now, we're really glad to see this, right? In fact, I don't know if you called it or if you said you wanted it to happen, but this is the point where I understand what you say when you can't just have good wrestling matches over and over again. Because it's like, I should be loving this moment. Mm-hmm. I was just like, take me home. I'm done.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was saying about earlier. Like, back in the day, it would have been considered like, okay, Swerve's getting his moment tonight.
Yes.
And then you guys just go out there and steal the show, put the limelight on you. That would be considered like selfish.
Yeah.
In this day and age, it's not, for whatever reason, you know? So like, those guys didn't do anything wrong. They did exactly what they were asked to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Me, if I'm booking, I'm going to try and structure it a little bit differently. Because ultimately you want to end the show peaking, if that makes sense. And this show peaked with the Ospreay and Bryan match, I think maybe fair to say.
Of course it is. Yeah.
As much as the other matches were great, and this was a great match as well, it kind of peaked with that. So almost like an afterthought, crowning a new world champion, I would have probably tried to deliver that differently. But definitely the right decision, having Swerve win the world title. I think everyone kind of assumed that he would. I feel like they should have done this the last pay-per-view. They did the three-way with Hangman. Mm-hmm. I think Swerve should have just won the world title then. And that could have just been a singles match as well. Because it seemed like Swerve was super duper hot. And I don't know if he's as hot as he was like a few months ago. Because now it's like the hottest guy in the company. Swerve was the hottest guy in the company. Now Ospreay has come along. He's the hottest guy in the company.
Yeah.
And so now Swerve's
falling
down.
And he already took
home
the pay-per-view.
Right.
Like 45 minutes before Swerve wins the title. Yeah.
It's like Swerve moves down into like the second most popular guy in the company, then wins the title. It's like, why didn't you just pull the trigger like, you know, when he was the hottest guy? So now it feels kind of like you maybe left it a little too late. I mean, I'm sure he's going to have a good run and everything else. It all seems like people's are kind of predicting that it's going to have Ospreay beat Strickland at Wembley, which is the summertime, August. So almost feels like if that is the case, that Swerve's not going to really get like a fair title run. Mm. And again, it's just like, I feel like if you're going to have Ospreay win the world title in his home country of Wembley, that's awesome. But can he not do it like by defeating a heel? Do you know what I mean? Just so, there's other examples in the past, like when Bulldog beat Bret at SummerSlam 92, but that was special again, because that was the exception, you know? But it'd be really nice to see Ospreay have like a mountain to climb and really triumph over a big Dick Dastardly heel. But we don't really have them in wrestling anymore, at least on this show. So congratulations to Swerve Strickland.
Yes.
Always been a fan of his work and him as a person. And it's going to be interesting now to see how AEW move forward. I feel like this is the first champion AEW's had where it's a guy that has kind of been made in AEW. I think that might be fair to say, like, it's someone that's actually started at one point in the card, got themselves over, climbed the card to the point of winning the world title. So I think that's very important.
Did Jade not do that?
Who? I mean, world champions I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But not really. No, Jade came in. They brought her in and she stayed the same level the whole time. They brought her in on top, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah.
If that makes sense. But yeah, I'm talking about world champion. Like, there might have been there's loads of belts, so there might be other champions that have done that. But for the world title, you know, Jericho came in as a top guy. Moxley as a top guy. Yeah. Hangman, he still came in as a top guy. Who else? Joe came in as a top guy. Who are the other champions? Kenny's top guy. MJF as well, I guess. MJF, I think, as well. And that's good. Like, you just hope that, because they can bring in so many stars and then keep bringing in big stars, but it's like, guys, like, you do have 5 hours of TV a week to make your own stars. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, and I'm not saying they haven't, but I'm saying, like, that should be the focus, but creating your own stars, you know? And they've done it with Swerve. They did it with MJF. It's like, let's just keep building on that, you know? And you could argue they'll do that with Ospreay as well. So I feel like they have, you know, considering everyone was saying like, oh, this company's doomed and whatnot, it seems like they have some positive energy coming out of this pay-per-view. And it seems like the wrestling fans all really seem to enjoy their pay-per-views.
I enjoy their pay-per-views, man.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not an AEW fan. You know, I don't tune in on the show every week. I do think they do a really good job with these pay-per-views. At the same time, I actually find these AEW pay-per-views harder to rate than WWE ones, because like, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking like, this is a good 3 out of 5. But if you take the aggregate of like each match, like, it's over 3 out of 5. So it's, but like, it's something to do with the structure and everything else. They're really hard to pin down, like what I feel like, because like, I enjoyed every match. The Chris Jericho one was like so-so, and maybe the Julia Hart one, you know, was a little short to see what it could do. But like, generally speaking, it was really solid from start to finish, really solid. The Pac and Okada opener, Swerve Strickland winning at the end, like two great bookends, the best match of the last couple of years in the middle.
Yeah.
But I still just feel like 3, which is a good score.
It's more like an expedition of matches. It's not like we watch these classic pay-per-views and there's a, like, between every match, there's like some kind of thread or
narrative
story.
There's different
things going on. There's a lot more variety. This is just like kind of like a collection of great wrestling matches. For me, I think 3 out of 5 is fair. We're probably going to get crucified. People are like, it's 100% five stars, but you know, different tastes for different people, I guess. Like I said, I can only see so much of good wrestling, and I see so much wrestling all the freaking time. So to me, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I want to be my brain stimulated, you know, I want to be taken in a different direction or taken off guard or whatever it might be. That's just my opinion, but yeah, I'd say a 3 stars was cool. And I think match of the night, other than the Ospreay and Bryan, it's actually difficult. It's still difficult because I thought the opener was awesome, and I thought the Bucks ladder match was awesome, and I really liked Strong and Kyle until the finish. So, but I think the opener was just awesome as well. So, would you recommend this show, Samuel, to people?
Yeah, I would.
If they've got five hours,
if you, Yeah. And if you just like good wrestling, we always say this with the AEW ones, if that's just what you're looking for, then add a star, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But for me, 3 is where it is at.
Well, there we go, Sam. That was AEW Dynasty. We hope you enjoyed that review. And next week, we have something very exciting coming to the show. It's been a while, Sam, since we had an interview on the show, isn't it?
Yes, it's been a lot of you and me.
A lot of you and me, and the people are sick of us both. So next week, we will be joined by none other than former WWE superstar Kalisto. I say Kalisto, you say Kalisto.
Kalisto, yeah.
Kalisto. We probably should ask him. Now Samurai Del Sol. I think I got that part right. And yeah, next week we've got the interview with him, and he's going to open up about a lot of stuff. And I think that you people are going to really, really enjoy this deep dive into Kalisto's life and his thoughts and what he's thinking and feeling. So I think it's going to be a really, really fun episode next week. But yeah, if you enjoyed today's episode, please follow us on the social medias at The Villain Pod. We're on the Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And also, if you want a shout out on the show, please go leave us a 5-star review and write something nice. We'll read it out on the show. That really, really helps out with the algorithm. But yeah, I think that's it.
Yep. Pretty good review of a pretty good pay-per-view this week. Lovely interview next week. So hopefully you've got everything that you need from us. So I will say, until that interview comes along, have a good week. Till next week.